2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. What my spirit groans for. Let's pray. Lord, bless tonight as your word goes forth. Pray that our hearts would be kindled by your spirit, and that as the word goes forth, the spirit that is in our hearts would, Lord, would bring it into us, and that we might apply it into our lives, that we might see Jesus Christ glorified and exalted, and that we might have a closer walk with him. We pray for those amongst us tonight that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and many of the things that I say tonight won't make a lot of sense to them, having never experienced the new birth and regeneration that is only found in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would be merciful and that you'd be gracious, even in the saving of lost souls tonight. But for your people, Lord, I pray that revival would not simply be a word on a bulletin, but, Lord, would be something that you would truly bring into this church and into our own personal lives, and that we would be what we ought to be, trusting that Jesus Christ is on his way, maybe even this evening. Lord, help us with maybe this last hour that we have to be what we ought to be before you. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What my spirit groans for. You see, when you read through Scripture, and you read about what the Bible says lies ahead for the believer, the Bible says it makes you start to groan. I mean, that does something to you. If the preacher is preaching and he's going through scriptures that talk about what lies ahead and what we get to be someday and what the Lord has in store for believers, it's really hard to just kind of sit there and take it. You know, that does something to you. I mean, when you've got something, it does something to you. Paul talks about this great groaning, and you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you can't read these first six verses without hearing Paul say, Lord, please come soon. Come and get us and take us from this world. Number one, what we've got. What we've got. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. In us as believers lies the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Go with me quickly. Ephesians chapter 1. He speaks of this earnest being given. The Holy Spirit of God has come to us as a gift of God, as the promise. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye had you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You see, something's already been changed about you, but there's something else that's going to be changed. And this earnest given to us under the praise of his glory. There is an earnest payment that we have in our hearts. There is something in our hearts that the Lord has given us that says, bought, paid for, and soon I'll be coming back to get the rest and take care of the rest. He's already gotten the Spirit taken care of. Listen, he's given me his Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, you'll never get more of the Spirit someday. Now, he might need to get some more of you. He might need to get some more of you in your life, but I'm telling you, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. This is the promise that we've been bought and paid for, and he's going to come back and get us someday. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John is the great assurance book of the Bible, and primarily chapter 5 is the great assurance chapter. So many things in 1 John chapter 5 that will either give you assurance of your salvation or will destroy the false assurance that you've been having. 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. The Bible says that he that has believed, he has the witness in himself. And the Bible says that this is a witness that is better. I mean, this is better than the witness of men. I get kind of frustrated. We go out and door knock in our communities around our church. And we have a Catholic, heavy Catholic town, St. Marie. Many, many people there go to the Catholic Church. We door knock there. We pass out John and Romans, New Testament, invite them to come and try to share the gospel with them. And almost undoubtedly, amongst their faith and amongst many faiths, when you speak of knowing of your salvation and knowing that you have a place secured in the Lord Jesus Christ, many would say, well, I just don't know that you can actually be sure about those kind of things. I don't know that you can be 100% sure about your salvation. Let me show you what the Bible says, how sure you can be. Right. Verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Who was the first president of the United States? George Washington. I'm hearing it across the room. How do you know? You never met him. You didn't live in the 1700s. How do you know that George Washington was the first president? It's in the history books. Somebody wrote it down. Somebody told you. You see, you believe the witness of men. Here's what the Bible says. If we believe the witness, or if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Now think about that. The witness of God is greater. Did you know that tonight there is something that is more sure than the fact that George Washington was the first president? Your salvation can be that sure. You can be more sure of your own personal salvation than you can be about anything you've read in a history book, because the witness of God is greater than the witness of men. And he that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. Amen. That is what the Lord has given us as the promise of his coming for us. We have it in ourselves. Do you have the Holy Spirit tonight? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? You say, how can I know if I have the Holy Spirit? Well, look at how the Holy Spirit works. Do you have the fruit of the Spirit?
There you go.
Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? When you come to Hebrews chapter 12 and the Bible speaks of conviction of sin and the Lord chastening his people, when you sin and get away from the Lord, does the Holy Spirit get after you? You see, that's how the Spirit works. He produces fruit. He produces conviction. You say, I don't see these things in my life. That's what the Spirit does. So that's the problem. I know how the Bible says the Spirit works. You say, but I don't have those things in my life. Then that may be a good indication that you don't have the Spirit. Yeah. Do you have it? Listen, number one, what we have got. We have the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts. What is in me right now is the perfect and righteous Holy Spirit of God. Number two, what we'll have. What we'll have. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What we'll have. Second Corinthians 5 verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This life, this body, is all temporary. It is so short. To live as if this world is all that there is to truly miss the point. It really is to miss what the meaning of life is. Many people put way too much stock in this life. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is as good as it gets, then that's misery. I mean, I see what's in our world. You're telling me this is the best that it gets? That's a miserable thought. But we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, there's something that lies ahead. There's something that awaits us. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Verse 14, Exodus chapter 25 and verse 14. The Lord has given the instructions for the Ark of the Covenant as it is to be built and placed inside the tabernacle. Exodus 25, verse number 14. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the Ark, that the Ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the Ark, they shall not be taken from it. See, the Ark of the Covenant was designed by the Lord to carry the Ten Commandments and to carry God's testimony and God's holy word. And there you see that they, as they were to build this ark, they were to put staves into the sides of it to carry this thing. The Ark of the Covenant had no resting place while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. The tabernacle was a tent and a structure that had to be taken up and tore down, putting up, tore down, up and down and up and down as they wandered in the wilderness for years. I mean, we're talking about from the time of Moses all the way to the time of David's son Solomon. This thing is going to be something that has to, I mean, this ark is always going to be moving. It doesn't have a resting place. So you don't take those staves out of its side. You keep those staves in it. You make sure that it's always ready to be moved. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. God told him to build it, keep it, and put those staves in it, and you leave them there. You don't take those staves out. It doesn't have a resting place. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 6. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord. 1 Kings 8, verse 6. The ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. Now we have the temple built, and what does the Bible say they do? They do something that they've never done before. They take the staves out of the ark. Why? Because now it's home. Okay, now it's in the temple. Now it's in Jerusalem. Now it's in its resting place. This whole thing, this temporary is finished. The temporary is done and finished, and now it's got a permanent place. You take those staves out. It's not going anywhere anymore. No more journey. It's over, and it's home. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you'll understand the language that Paul is using here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, as Paul is talking about this building that we have of God, this house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, he's not talking about a mansion. He's not talking about a city. He's talking about a body. He's talking about what we get to have someday. I got a spirit now, but I'm telling you, I'm getting a body someday. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now read verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Now notice the language there of a tabernacle and a house. In verse 1, the word tabernacle is the word skenos. It means a hut or temporary residence. But you come down in verse 2 and he uses the word house, which is the word oikaterion, which means a permanent residence, a permanent establishment. He says that I live in a tabernacle now. I'm living in a temporary residence. But I'm telling you in verse 2, I'm groaning and I'm earnestly desiring to get something that'll be permanent. What I'm getting is finally going to come to me, a permanent home. One day we're going to go from the temporary to the permanent. And Paul said, this spirit starts to groan because I want that. I want that body. I want to be there. I want to be with the Lord. He knows, man, this is just temporary. All the afflictions that I'm going through, all the things that I'm suffering, all the changes that are going on, it's temporary. I just want to get there. I just want to have that body. And this spirit begins to groan. You see, we get too accustomed to the changes of life. Too many changes from the time that we're born. I mean, we would think something's wrong if a baby was born and it didn't change. And it didn't grow, but you get older, you continue to get older, and your body begins to change, and your responsibilities begin to change, and life begins to change. It's always change, change, change. And Paul says, I'm longing to get out of this temporary and get into the permanent. Amen. I want to get out of this temporary walking around thing and get where I'm going. I want to be there and get where I'm going and get to the permanent. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hey. We long for permanent. And this world's not it. This world's not our home. I mean, the songwriter had it. We are just passing through, I'm telling you. And that's why he said, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Because I have realized, I understand this is just temporary. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And I love verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Look at me. Look at me. Look at this body. This is not the way it's always going to be. You look at me and you see the shell that a holy and righteous spirit lives in. I have the Holy Spirit of God and I live in this shell, but it's not always going to be this way. I'm getting something a lot better than this. I'm going from incorruption, or I'm from corruption to incorruption. I'm going from mortal to immortality. Amen. This thing's going to be changed, and it's going to be a permanent change. Let me give you three reasons why this spirit is ready to get rid of this body. Three reasons why this spirit is ready to get rid of this body. Number one, it fights me too much. Galatians chapter 5. I'm ready to get rid of this body. It fights me too much. Every believer that stands before you is a walking Jacob and Esau battle. A walking fight between the spirit and the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. There's no agreement. I mean, if you're a believer, there's no agreement between your spirit and your body. Now, if you're here tonight and you're lost, you've got a dead body, you've got a dead spirit. There's agreement there. But a believer, these things are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I'm telling you, I struggle. I am my own worst enemy. Listen, you don't give me near the problems that I give me. And he says, the flesh and the spirit, they start fighting with each other and they struggle, and there's this struggle going on, and sometimes the spirit's got the upper hand and sometimes the flesh has got the upper hand. I'm tired of this battle. I'm really tired of this fight. I am my own worst enemy. Paul realized that in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter number 7. If you were to begin, we're going to begin in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. Notice how he begins to speak, and as he continues to speak and think of things, it escalates. Romans 7, 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that I do not, do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. You see that? In my flesh, there is something good in the Apostle Paul. He's got the Holy Spirit of God. So notice that break there. I know that in me, in my flesh, there is no good thing, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. You see, lost person, you don't even have that. You see, the believer has a will to do it. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Man, this inward man wants to do God's will. But I see another law in my members. See, there's one law in his heart and in his spirit, but there's another law in these hands and in this body. There's another law in these members, warring against the law of my mind. You see that battle, the members, the body against the mind, the spirit, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You see, Paul is escalating this entire conversation. There's this struggle that's going on, and it's a law, and I'm bound to this. I've got a body, and I've got a spirit, and I want to do what is right. That's the difference between a believer and a lost person. We don't always do right, but we want to. We want to do right. And then there's this other part over here, this flesh, this whole rotten, nasty body. And man, this thing fights against me. And the things that deep in my spirit I want to do, I find that I'm struggling to do those things. And he gets to the climax in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See, Paul's not talking about salvation there as far as his spirit. He's like, get me out of this body. Get me out of this thing. I am fighting way too much of my spirit. I want to do right. I want to serve the Lord. I want to be faithful. But this old nasty thing keeps getting in the way. Lord, please get me out of this body. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Please get me out of this. I don't want a body that's going to sin anymore. I don't want a body that comes into my spiritual life and is a hindrance. And Paul, among the others of the scriptures, saw what a great struggle there is. And this spirit longs to get rid of this body. I'm telling you, it wants it gone. Believer, those here tonight that claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, can you honestly say that you struggle with sin? Amen. Why is it that you claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you never struggle with sin? Yep. No one in this room tonight would believe in sinless perfection, but I think we would all agree that a true believer wants to be righteous. Amen. And wants to do what's right, and there's a struggle there. Why is it that there's no struggle with you? Why is it that we can't see Jacob and Esau in your life? Why is it we see that just always lying down to sin and lying down to temptation? Why is there no fight in you? Every believer's got to fight. I don't want to be in this body anymore. It fights me too much. Let me give you the second reason this spirit wants out of this body. Because this body can't take what the spirit wants. This body cannot handle what the spirit wants. Let me explain this. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Moses had just interceded on behalf of the Lord's people. Moses is the meekest man that ever walked and a good, godly leader of the children of Israel. You come to Exodus 33 and notice Exodus 33, 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I'll put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now Moses wants it. Lord, show me thy glory. Here's the spirit that wants it. He wants to get closer to the Lord. He wants to see the glory of the Lord. And the Lord looks at him and tells him, listen, you can't. You cannot. This old body cannot handle the Lord in his glory. Notice that you come down to chapter 34. Exodus 34, verse 29. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh unto him. And Moses called unto them and Aaron and unto all the rulers of the congregation. They returned unto him, And Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh. He gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. He came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. You notice this passage. Moses wants more of God. He wants to see more of his glory. And Moses, the Lord has to look down at Moses and say, Moses, you can't. Now look at this passage. Put these together. Moses, his face is glowing. There is a brightness about his face that the children of Israel can't even behold. They can't even look at Moses' face. It's so bright. And what did Moses see? The back parts of the Lord. He saw the smallest little glimpse. He was hidden in a cliff of the rock. He saw a small glimpse of God's glory. Amen. And his face glowed and people couldn't look on him. Listen, this body can't take what this spirit wants. This spirit wants more than the body can actually withstand. I mean, look how frail the body is. How many times do we see and understand that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? I'm looking forward to the day I get a body and I'm going to be able to sing all day and my voice isn't going to go out.
Amen.
I'm going to be able to pray all day and not get tired.
Amen.
You ladies, imagine if you could play the piano for hours and hours upon end and your wrists never get tired. You never get weary. Can you imagine if you had a body that was capable of doing what the Spirit wanted to do and you didn't have to fight this stinking body and everything that the Spirit wanted, all the right things that you wanted to do, the body could actually do them? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I want to see more of the Lord's glory.
Amen.
He saw a small part and Israel couldn't look on him. They couldn't even look at his face. He had to put a veil over it. Wow, the spirit wants so much more than the body's even able to handle. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 39. 1 Corinthians 15, 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. You see, every body is made for a different purpose. Every body that is created, whether it's the body of a human or the body of an animal or the body of a celestial being or a body of the stars, moon, and sun, whatever it is, each body has been created with a purpose. And right now, the body in which we live in, this body really can't take spiritual things. It fights against it. That's why you come all the way down in verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. This body can't go. I mean, this body can't handle. Can you imagine if this body were able for 2 seconds to step inside the walls of heaven? It couldn't take it. I mean, the glory of God would destroy this body because flesh and blood can't handle it. I'm going to get a body one day that can. I'm going to get a body one day that everything this spirit wants, it's going to be able to do. I'll be able to sing and not get weary. I'll be able to do spiritual things and not fight this flesh over it. I'm going to be something someday. And that's why Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says this. You see, when you get an idea of what lies ahead, when you really get a hold of what we're going to be someday, Romans 8:23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, see, listen, you know what you get to be someday. And this Spirit's like, what? I got to live with this thing a little bit longer. It doesn't want it. You know, when the Spirit realizes what it has lying ahead, your Spirit someday is going to get a body to match it. Right now, it doesn't have it. You got a body and spirit that don't match each other. One day, you'll get that, and your spirit's like, I want it now. I want that body. And that spirit in you starts to groan. Oh, I want that body. I want that body so much. I want that ability. I want that spiritual strength. I want it. I want it. And it begins to groan. Believer, don't you want more?
Amen.
Don't you want more?
I
sure hope that it's that you want more, and maybe the body just can't take it. And it starts to groan. Let me give you the third reason this spirit wants to get rid of the body. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, Paul tells us what it is. The third reason this spirit wants out of this body is because if it's still in this body, it means it's not with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And listen, the way that he's saying that, he's not excited about that fact. He's not excited. You listen to him in this passage, his spirit is groaning and he's coming to the truth. Here's what I'm realizing, that as long as I'm in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. And it's not what he wants. He wants to be with the Lord. And as long as I'm in this body, I'm not with the Lord. And that's why this spirit is ready to get rid of this body. That's why this spirit wants to go, because it knows that on this earth, I'm not with the Lord. And the spirit wants that. I mean, the spirit wants to go. The spirit wants to be there. I want to be with him. The spirit's not foolish. The spirit looks around and it sees this world's a mess. This spirit doesn't like being here. I mean, the spirit that is in you wants righteousness and holiness. It wants to see Jesus Christ. And this spirit is groaning. I want out of here. Right. I want a new body. I want to be with the Lord. I want to be able to do the things that the Spirit wants to do. I'm tired of this flesh always fighting me. I'm tired of sinning. Listen, I realize I'm my own worst enemy. And when you say, Brother Philip, he's a hypocrite, you're not talking to anybody that doesn't know that. I mean, I realize that, and I know that. I'm the biggest hypocrite that I know, but I know I won't always be. I won't always be.
Amen.
And whenever anybody accuses me of being a hypocrite, I always tell them there's room for one more. Amen. We're all hypocrites. Amen. We all don't do what we want to do, right? I mean, if you're truly a believer, right. You're truly a believer, you don't do what you want to do. There's a fight there. There's a struggle. That's what we'll have. Number three, what will be? What will be? Romans chapter 8. What are we going to be? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, you start reading verses like that. You know what that does to your spirit? You know, the spirit inside of you looks at Romans 8:18 and it says, thanks for reminding me I'm in this body. That's what it says. It comes to these kind of passages. And you read verses like Galatians chapter 5 and Romans chapter 8 and your spirit says, thanks a lot. And it starts groaning again and it starts wanting it. And that's why he continues on with this passage that we are groaning and earnestly awaiting the adoption of the body, or the adoption to the redemption of our body. The redemption of this body. I'm going to be something someday that verse number 18 says that it's going to be worth it all. And everything that I've struggled with in this flesh, it's going to be worth it all someday. Whether it's a tear that was shed or a bone that was broken or a heart that was broken or whatever has been suffered in this world, it's going to be worth it all, because I'm going to get a body someday and it's not going to be this way anymore, never again. And the Spirit says, are you kidding me? I'm going to have a body like that? I want to go. And it groans.
Right.
Really quick gut check. Those of you that claim the name of Jesus Christ tonight, you listen to these verses. What's your spirit thinking right now? Because if I get some duh looks or duh groans or duh, you know, man, you can't read these verses without it doing something to your spirit. And you see, this is what I'm going to be someday. That spirit, man, it just can't take it. It starts rolling around and groaning and it burns inside you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's another verse that makes your spirit start to groan. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. If heaven is only what I know the Bible says, it's going to be the best place I've ever seen. It's going to be the best place I've ever seen. And that's just going by what I know the Bible already tells me about it. But listen, eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's never entered into your heart what the Lord has prepared for his people. And that spirit hears that and says, oh man, let me out of this body. Let me get out of this thing. I want to go. I want to be there. Let me get out of here. eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard. Philippians chapter 3. You say, this guy's nuts. I know what I'm going to be someday. I already get out of here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, and that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. What? You mean I'm going to have a body like the Lord? I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm already like him in spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. But you're telling me he's going to change my vile body too? Let me out of this thing. Give me the new one already. This spirit starts to groan and it wants it. It really, really wants it so bad. Now can you see why you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Paul's intense? I mean, this guy's intense. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Let's get back to our text. He wants that new body. Man, he wants that body. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Now read it, knowing all the things that we've read so far. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now what's he talking about in verse number 4? He's talking about wanting the body, okay? He's talking about wanting to see Jesus Christ in the resurrection. He says in verse 4, he says, here's where we groan and we're burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. You know, there'll become a time if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come back, Philip Thomas is going to be unclothed and go to be with the Lord. Paul says, that's not my earnest desire. Yeah, if I die and get to go to heaven to be with the Lord, yeah, man, that's a great, great blessing. But I don't desire to be unclothed. I desire to be clothed upon. I desire that new body, man. I desire the resurrection, the rapture to see Christ in the clouds. That's what I want. You come over to Philippians 1. There's three things for a believer that he can be. There's three things for the believer that he can be. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. And verse 21. Philippians 1, 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why is to die gain? Because I could go to be with the Lord. Right. But verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now there's three things that a believer can be. He can be alive in this world, doing the work of the Lord. He can die and go to be in the presence of the Lord. Or he can see the resurrection. He can be alive at the time of the rapture. And here's how Paul describes that. Man, that is a good, better, best. For me to be in this body, for me to stay here in this life, this is needful for you. I've got a ministry, a calling of the Lord, and I've got a work that I need to do. So it's okay to stay in this body. But to die is gain. Okay, to die would be better because I'd get to go be with the Lord. But then you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul says, here's something that would be better than dying and going to be with the Lord, to be clothed upon. I mean, to see death swallowed up in victory at the resurrection, not to die. I don't want to be unclothed, but I want to be clothed upon. You see, we always, you know, we know that to die is gain. I don't think any of us have been so foolish as to say, you know, well, I want to die today. I'm telling you what, there'd be something better than dying today and going to heaven. It'd be if he showed up here. Amen. He took us out. And I tell you what, I'll take that. Amen. I'll take that. I'm ready to get out of this thing. Amen. I'm ready to get out of this body. You say, isn't there a lot of work to do here in this world? Yeah, there is. But I'm telling you, if he wants to come back, I'm ready to get out of this thing. I'm ready to be something different. I've only been alive for 26 years, but I've caused myself enough trouble. I'm ready to get out of this rotten thing. I don't even know what 26 more years could hold for me. I'm telling you, if he wants to come back today, that's why the writers say, even so, come. Come and get us, Lord. Who shall change this vile body? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to change? Come and get me out of this thing.
Amen.
Oh, to love his appearing. Paul says there's a crown in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he speaks of those also to who love his appearing. You can't read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and say that Paul wasn't loving the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, your spirit starts to groan and you start to want the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want Jesus to come back?
Amen.
Today?
Amen.
If you're here today and you're lost, you're not ready for the Lord to come back. You're not ready for it. But there may be some here today who are saved and not ready for it.
Right.
Some that don't love his appearing. Paul says, I desire to be clothed upon. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, but to be clothed upon is what my spirit groans for. That's what I want more than anything. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5 says, Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Paul says, I want more than anything for the Lord to come back. And because I want more than anything for him to come back, and because I'm looking for him to come, and because I love his appearing, you know what that does to me? Verse 9, I'm laboring that I might be accepted of him. I'm laboring because verse 10 says, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. He know, I want the Lord to come back. And you know what? I know that when the Lord comes back, I know that after the resurrection is the judgment seat. And I'm looking for that day. I think it's so close. And Paul says, So I'm working and I'm serving and I'm being faithful and I'm trying to do what the Lord wants me to do. Why? Because I love his appearing. I want him to come. I want him to take this old thing and get rid of it. You can't look at the scriptures and think and realize what you're going to be someday and that not do something to you. And that tells that my spirit starts quaking and trembling and desiring and groaning, get me out of this body. Are you ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back? Do you love his appearing? If you're here today and you're lost, turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You see, we live in these bodies, but even as believers, we have something that unbelievers don't. You see, John 14, verse 16 says, And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know what the difference is between a saved person in these bodies and a lost person in these bodies? One group doesn't have any fellowship with God. Don't have any fellowship with God. Do you know the potential that a believer has? It says it right there. He dwells in you. And you come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and notice the potential that a believer has that the lost doesn't. Notice what the potential the believer has, even in this body, that the lost doesn't. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He already said you don't have the Spirit, but here, he's revealed things unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You see, the things of God are strange and foreign to you. And tonight, as a lost person, you need to come to Christ on your knees begging, Lord, make it real to me. You don't even see what you've lost in Adam's fall and what you've lost in your sinful nature. There's no fellowship with God. You stand today separated from God. You're saying, would the Lord condemn me someday? You're already condemned, the Bible says. There's no fellowship with God there. But we have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. There's some of you tonight that are looking at me thinking, this guy is nuts. What's he talking about? Spirit groaning within him? There's something inside of him that wants something different? The things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to you. There's some saved people here tonight, though, that know what I'm talking about. And we're tired of living in these bodies. We're tired of being our own worst enemy. And we're tired of coming between ourselves and the Lord. We're tired of these rotten, stinky bodies. I'm telling you, we want to get out of these things. And you say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Because the things of God must be revealed by the Spirit of God. And if you don't have it tonight, many of the things that I've said probably don't make any sense to you. But I'm telling you, you need to come tonight on your knees in true repentance of sins and pray that the Lord would forgive you of your sins and ask Him to forgive you for all that rebellion and unrighteousness. Come to Him as a truly repentant sinner. Why don't you admit it? Come on, why don't you admit it today that you've been your own worst enemy? Why don't you admit it today that your life's a miserable wreck and you hear the preacher preaching and you don't have any clue what he's talking about? Can you not come and confess that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God? They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you're here tonight and you're lost, your greatest need is not a new body. It's a new spirit. It's a new spirit. You need fellowship with God, and that only comes through repentance of your sins. It only comes through repentance and faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross, shed His blood for the redemption of sins, was buried, and rose again. And today, He sits at the right hand of God. And the Bible says that He sits there making intercession. And He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. If you want to get to God, I can tell you 100% tonight, you got to go to Jesus Christ. You must go through Jesus Christ. Do you have the Spirit? I have a Spirit. You know what it wants more than anything? It wants a new body. I want something new. I'm ready for it. Have you ever looked outside? You ever just walked outside and just looked up at the clouds and thought what John thought and just said, just come on back, Lord. Just come and get me out of here. Please trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight.